Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast. That's the intro.
What? Take in the butter of conversation.
No.
Spread it in over
rubbish.
The bread of comedy. Put it in the toaster of the internet.
Yeah. What the hell are you making?
I guess we're breaking the toaster. Just like we broke the internet, just like Wreck-It Ralph.
I love it. I was thinking about doing a toast and sandwich, but I couldn't remember if I'd done that before or not.
Yeah.
That's where I thought you were going. Imagine if you were going in the exact direction I was thinking about. It would have been quite scary. But luckily, no, you were spreading on the butter to bread and then putting that in the toaster.
Yeah.
Pretty tired boys, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess we must be pretty tired. We got up pretty early to interview someone who cancelled on us. And now we've been here all day. So we had another 4 days of recording after that. So, yeah, pretty tired boys. But, it's the Off Menu podcast.
Yeah.
We own a dream restaurant. Ed Gamble's the maitre d' over there. I myself am a genie waiter. And we invite in a guest and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week our guest is...
Tom Davis. Tom Davis, comedian, actor, writer. Very prolific, James.
Very prolific, always funny. Can't wait to have him on the podcast.
Very prolific, always terrific.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I love that.
He is extremely funny. Most things he says makes me laugh.
Yeah.
He's extremely funny. He is in a new show called The Curse on Channel 4, an 80s crime comedy.
You're talking my language, man. I'm very excited to watch it.
You love crime comedy.
I love crime comedy. Yeah. I always say that. I love crime comedy.
You should tell Tom that.
I'll tell him.
All right.
I'll tell him that I love crime comedy. You mark my words. I'll do it.
Okay. But it's him and the guys from People Just Do Nothing,
which I love as well.
Yeah. And Emma Kenny is in it as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This whole thing is like. Full to the brim with talent, bursting at the seams.
I'm very much looking forward to watching it, but not as much as I'm looking forward to hearing Tom's dream menu. But all that aside, if Tom picks an ingredient that we have pre-established that we don't like, we will kick him out of the dream restaurant. And when we say we, Benito said he'll handle it.
Yeah, he said he'll handle it himself.
He can take him, because a lot of you don't know what Benito looks like. Benito, 6'9".
Yeah, he's humongous. Big old guns.
And a lizard's tongue.
A lizard's tongue.
Imagine that.
So he will kick out Big Tom Davis if he says the secret ingredient. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Jack Daniels. We promised it. We said Southern Comfort a couple of weeks ago.
Jack Daniels, just as bad. Gets talked about with more reverence as well. At least Seven Comfort is, like, you know, just like accepted as being like kind of blur. Jack Daniels gets talked about like it's the king of whiskies, and it really, really isn't.
No, terrible. Be able to put Coke with it. It's not nice. It's supposed to be rock and roll. It's disgusting. It's a weird square bottle. I hate it.
Yep. I would actually respect it more if they just really leaned into just have it with Coke.
Yeah.
Because they do lean into it a bit. You get it in cans of Coke, I think. Yep. But like, just go, it should just be, just have it with Coke. Then I'm like, okay, cool. This is just a whiskey that I can have with Coca-Cola. If I want a whiskey and Coke, this is the one to have. I don't need to get too precious about it. No need to ruin a good whiskey. But it's all the long soliloquies. Gordon Bennett. Jack Daniels.
Gordon Bennett is the British Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
I'd say Jack Daniels, the booze that I've most poured down the sink.
Yeah.
After a party, someone will bring a bottle of Jack Daniels, or I'll just have a bottle of Jack Daniels and I'm like, right, I'm clearing all the booze out.
Yeah.
Or I'm moving and I'm not taking that Jack Daniels. That's going straight down the sink. Big old square bottle down the sink.
Yeah. Sorry. But, you know, RIP to Lemmy.
Lemmy.
Yeah, sorry, Lemmy's a comedian.
Lemmy's alive.
He's alive.
So you really gave everyone a real shock there.
Sorry, everybody.
Lemmy, we're talking about Lemmy is alive from Motorhead.
Lemmy's alive and he's teetotal.
Yeah, you couldn't have got that more wrong.
Yeah, but Lemmy from Motorhead loved Jack Daniels. Yeah. And rest in peace to him.
But before we get to Tom Davis's menu, of course, let's not forget that I'm on tour, everyone. My show is called Electric. It is on tour right now. Go to edgamble.co.uk for tickets. I'm loving it so far. Why don't you come and love it with me? But now, this is the off-menu menu of Tom Davis.
Tom Davis.
Welcome, Tom, to the Dream Restaurant.
Wow. I'm so honoured to be here. I've been...
Welcome, Tom Davis, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
I've had a reservation here for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy just to be sitting here.
Yeah.
Just looking at you two is just a joy.
Now, the Genie entrance there, I mean, I've seen the Genie entrance maybe 140 times.
Yeah.
It's the only time I've ever heard it trail off. Normally, it's just bang, we're in. And there was a little wisp at the end there. I don't know if you noticed.
I was floating down.
I melted a bit when I saw that. It was just, you know, like, so you can get indulged with pyrotechnics and all the craziness. Sometimes it's just Acast are just doing it felt like magic.
Yeah.
It's really everything I dreamed it would be and a little touch more.
Thank you, Tom. It was, I thought, take your time today, you know?
Yeah.
Take your time. You're a big Tom Davis. We know we're in good hands.
I feel like.
Take your time.
Everyone's in good hands. It's like we're all holding each other's hands and we're going, yeah, what? I think we might have this.
Yeah.
Okay. It might be okay.
Like,
I mean, at the end of the episode, someone goes, that was fucking terrible. They all got very arrogant at the top of it.
Oh, yeah. Some people. The best criticism I heard about this podcast, I can't remember what episode it was. But it's when I was still on social media.
Yeah.
And someone said, heard your episode with whoever the guest was. That they like the sound of their own voice. And I was like, it's a podcast. We're interviewing them.
They responded to your questions.
Yeah, they like the sound of their own voice. I'm going, any.
Obsessed with food.
Really,
it's insane criticism.
To talk.
I'm just, the new show went out last night, and it's just that mad thing of like such nice positives, but then you just get the odd negative, which just, and I made the mistake this morning, at like 4:30 this morning, waking up with my daughter and doing a sort of night feed. And like a cherished moment, and then I looked on Twitter, and then I just sort of sat there just with tears in my eyes, just thinking, fucking that guy from Barnsley hates the show. We really should have worked a little bit harder. What could I have done? What? Like, it's really sad because as a comedian, certainly myself, I always find that thing, like there's a massive part of me that just wants to be liked. From someone who was sort of bullied at school or whatever, and like sort of pathetic need to sort of like, you know, like everyone at school, the nerds, the jocks, walking around going, oh, yeah, just like me. I have nothing in common. I'm not clever. I'm not good at sport, but just like something about me. And that's sort of like transcended into what I do now.
Yeah.
So as soon as I get any negativity, I'm like, sort of, oh, God, like, maybe if I just went to his house, knocked on the door, and went, hey, mate, are you all right? Look, I'm actually all right.
It's that thing of like, no matter how many people tell you, but look at all of these good comments. People love it. There's like 100 good comments for every one negative comment. Man. You're like, no, but one negative comment is worth 100 comments.
Yeah. Always a guy who's got very, very grey looking sort of human being who usually got sort of quite sort of like far right leaning sort of views
that's
in the world.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, which usually I think, oh, actually, he'd probably quite like me. But
yeah, he's really got to hate actually what you're doing, yeah, what you're correct. Putting out there. Yeah.
Loathe creatively. Oh, God, because on paper, I'd love that key.
Everything I should want in the world.
To overlook the fact you're a big white bloke. He's like, can't even take that into account. What he's producing is
that's
awful.
How turgid the shit he's putting out is.
But, you know, don't listen to that one guy, Tom, you know.
No, I try and sort of move on. I try and get on through
the curse. It feels like
you're referring to the curse.
Yes, the curse.
The show, the curse.
That's the name of the show. Not the curse of the comedian to look for the bad comment.
Yeah,
curse of Clive and Barnsley. The curse. Channel 4.
I'm looking forward to it. I genuinely am going to watch it. I'm not just saying it just to. I love crime comedy as a genre.
Yes.
Not where I thought you were going with that.
No.
You say the like that you like all the people in it.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to say,
I love you, obviously. I love people just doing nothing. So, and those guys are in it.
It's, I think it's fun. It's sort of a weird one because it's been like 4 or 5 years of writing it. And, to sort of now have it out there. It's I always find it so nerve wracking that sort of the day before and the day it goes out and then you just waiting for reviews. But it seems people like it, people enjoy it. The other thing I've been getting, because I think like doing King Gary was such a sort of personal piece, all of a sudden I've had quite a lot of people go, why don't you just do the King Gary character? You know, well, we're character actor, that's like, we're quite fucking lazy, wouldn't it, if I just sort of shrugged that everything I did now is Gary King, because it's sort of slightly, so it's but it's been a real labour of love. I'm really proud of it as a show, and I hope people enjoy it. Apart from that one guy in Barnsley, who's really
Well. That's I mean,
let's not hang around on that guy. You know?
he's gonna be listening to this going, I did it.
Or he's listening to it even... going, it was only a joke.
He loves this
podcast.
for a laugh. It's weird, isn't it? People come up to you and go, why don't you just do that same character?
Yeah,
because if you did do the same character, is it fair to say people would go, why don't you just do something different?
Yeah, you just do the same thing. It'd be a real mix of, I mean, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, and that's just life.
What you should do is just have a podcast. No one ever says that to us. No one ever says, goes,
that's quite sad. I have a podcast. It's
I listen to it.
I don't listen to podcasts now.
Why would you?
Ours is the biggest one in the world.
Who's told you that?
Huh?
Who's told
it's
you that?
You're, it's like,
you haven't been
if you're playing
well.
For one of the biggest football teams in the world, you're not looking below you. You're not going, what's going on in the conference?
I'm watching the local clubs.
Hey, Dagenham and Redbridge are doing well. I don't give a fuck. I just won the Premier League.
Forget it.
You have a great podcast with Ramesh called Wolf and Owl, which I hadn't heard up until like 3 months ago. And then I put on an episode. I was like, oh, I really like this. And then I listened to all of it in about 3 days.
Oh, amazing.
So you were living in my head for about 3 days.
That's the only place I've ever wanted to be.
Who's the wolf and who's the owl?
Guess I'm the wolf, strong leader. Ramesh is the bookish owl.
Yeah?
He demanded upon that name. But it's a lot of fun.
But everyone who writes in with an email, they have their own sort of animal nickname.
Yeah, that's only become a thing. Look, if I'm honest, we were recording for our own amusement for about, we did about 30 pilots of it, just pissing about.
Yeah.
And we just thought none of them were any good. So then we just, I think, called it a name that no one would, if it was shit associated with either of us, we should have really called it the Tom and Rom show or something like that. Tomish. Really lame. And then this animal pack thing's grown and people seem to sort of call themselves like a crocodile.
Do you want to give us some animal names?
I think the leopard.
Interesting.
You're loyal and you never change your spots.
Okay.
Oh, I like it.
I'd have thought I'd got the meerkat or something.
No.
A bit more like a meerkat.
The worm, the little worm.
And, the little worm?
I would go with the rhino.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Strong.
He's horny.
Yeah,
because I'm horny and grey, quite grey.
Rapidly going grey.
I don't look well.
It's quite ill at the moment.
But I'm horny as hell.
I'm really happy with it. Just as you find out you've got a really bad skin defect, slowly. Well, that's why I saw a gamble in February. I saw him again in April, and he was actually completely grey.
Completely grey, but still had an absolute rod on.
I knew a guy actually. This is a weird story. I'm probably gonna cut up, but building sites,
it won't. It'll start with
we convinced that he basically came into work one day and said that he'd had a bit of a trouble with his ball bag and the skin had got quite hard around it.
It's quite an open gut.
And we convinced him that it was a disease called rhinosaurus or whatever.
Yeah, good
and
mates.
It meant your whole skin
really open,
like, got really thick and hard and started becoming like a rhino. So yeah. It always started with your ball bag.
Yeah. It was the always most... started with your ball bag, yeah, always.
Yeah.
It always starts with the ball bag and then you turn into a rhino.
You sometimes hear him on a night out, sort of like chatting up a girl, and then sort of go, you probably need to know I've got like a situation.
No.
Yeah. He believed us for years. He was very gullible.
He'd be, yeah. But he'd be so sure that he was going to go home with this woman that he would tell them about his hardened ball bag
was just very
before
open.
They left the club.
He was just very open. He didn't want to, like, anything
yeah.
not said.
I think he was open.
He was like in a game where he'd always have his cards on show.
Yeah.
And I respect that about him.
Well, you didn't respect it. You absolutely showed him complete disrespect for doing that. I showed my cards. Yeah. Well, you're going to turn into a rhino. It starts with your ball bag. Oh, no. I mean, that's, you can't be open and gullible.
No.
I think that's a bad combo.
No, yeah, it is.
I tell everyone everything about me, and I will believe anything they say at the same time. That's bad stuff.
What was his ball problem? Did he ever work that out?
Yeah. I think just with age, his ball bag just got leathery.
But you didn't want to go to the doctors about it.
No.
If I was him, if you're the kind of person who's so open about that, you tell all your mates, and you would tell a woman you've only just met who hasn't even gone back to your place yet in the club, then surely you have no problem going to the doctors and going, can you look at this? I've heard I'm turning into a rhino.
But he doesn't need to go to the doctors because his mates have already told him what's
wrong. I think he was slightly worried about, like, sometimes it's like sort of like if you go to, that's a definite answer, isn't it? And I think he sort of took it as, you know, like a building site sort of quack. Who just sort of, oh, no, there we go, mate. I think that's probably what. And also, none of us actually saw the balls.
No.
He just described them in great detail.
But then they never spread to the rest of his body. So he must have gone, okay, this is a lie.
No, or he just thought, I'm getting away with it. It seems like, whatever I'm doing is keeping it under control. It's just attacked the ball bag. Maybe if it spreads to my legs, then, I start getting rhinosaurusitis of the legs.
Yeah, rhinosaurusitis.
Probably find out it's a real disease, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'll go to a zoo one day and he'll be knocking on the glass and he'll go, oi, oi. You're all right.
Can't believe you said it. It looked like a rhino.
It's Kevin.
He gave that gamble guy the rhino title.
Look at me, I'm a full rhino. In this disease, then you imagine he could still speak English once, even though the transformation's complete. Yeah, he can knock as well.
And they keep him, and then they still have him in the zoo.
Not giving the science.
So
we're going through fucking glass, aren't nobody's been. Stop knocking on the fucking glass every time. I'm trying to get out of here.
We always start with still or sparkling water on the podcast.
Yeah.
Your preference?
You know what I've got a real preference for is I like to go to a restaurant and I like to sample the tap water.
Nice.
Like it's a wine.
Yes.
You're swilling?
Yeah. But I think, you know what? We live in one of the only countries in the world where you can have like tap water.
Uh-huh.
Different areas. Like sometimes it's chalky. Sometimes you get like fresh kick.
Yeah.
I actually think we should be pushing that more.
Uh-huh.
I think the vibe of actually being proud. Because it's sort of sneered upon if you sit and, would you want tap water? Like, that you can't afford a bottle. But actually I think people should be more upfront about pushing tap water because it's like a fine wine, right?
Yeah, because they don't mention it. They always say still or sparkling, and you have to. It's like a secret menu item. You have to say tap.
Yeah,
and I'm always very proud of saying tap.
Yeah, or I like to say, what's your tap like? And then just bring me and then you just have a glass and just do a little. That's lovely. That's nice and fresh.
But if you've got a place in the country where it's your favourite tap water, it'd be fun that wherever you are. You go, do you have some Salford tap water, please? I would like a pint of Salford tap water. But we're in Birmingham.
Oh, dear.
Well,
oh, dear.
You asked me if I wanted water.
Yeah, or you just literally get a sip of it and go, you know what, I will get a bottle. That's not for me.
If
it's a bit cloudy and it's got bits in it. But I think it's something we should be really proud of.
Well, so you know what, I've got to ask you now, because you told me before this that you have lived for a few years, I didn't know this, but for about 3 years, near where I grew up.
Yeah.
Northamptonshire. Obviously, you've had tap water elsewhere.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Northamptonshire tap water?
Look, I was spoilt as a child because I was brought up with sort of Surrey tap water, which is beautiful. It's very crisp. It's very, it's with you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main reasons I moved to where I moved, though, is the water there. It's even like on a hot day, it's ice cold.
Yeah,
there's nothing but deliciousness to it.
It's the Northamptonshire tap water you're talking about.
It's really good.
It's always ice cold. That's not like a characteristic of of tap water. Yeah.
That's a character. Oh, you, every good drink.
Because it's in Northamptonshire, it comes out the taps ice cold.
Ed, I can see where you're going with this. I have been in parts of this country where I've run a tap for maybe 10 minutes and it doesn't get as cold as the stamp. Yeah. You know,
you've got a soaking wet hand at the end, so you just wave your hand under the tap all the time.
Yeah, you like that. Or you just get a little shot glass and you take a suck of it and it's like, oh, this is still not cold enough for my palate.
But I think my point is it specific to Northamptonshire that it comes out the tap ice cold immediately?
Yeah, I think so. That's why.
Yep. Always cold.
It's like having one of those things on your fridge.
Right, yeah.
It's beautiful water, man.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, I always want to shake someone by the hand when I've had amazing water and say, you should tell everyone about this.
Yes.
But obviously they don't because it's such a markup.
Who are you shaking by the hand?
The restaurateur.
The restaurateur.
The maitre d'. Go out there with a fiver at the end of the meal and go, that water was fucking lovely, mate. You tell everyone about that.
I should tell people about it in Kettering.
Lovely bit of kit, yeah.
So would that be the water you'd like in your dream meal, is Kettering tap water?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kettering tap water.
Yes.
Do you like Kettering tap water? Are you?
Yeah, although I must say, I said Salford earlier because I think that is where I've noticeably had the best tap water.
Very soft water. Mm.
It, again, just tasted very fresh and clean and pure.
I like a bit of chalky water sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. I like a bit of hard water.
Yeah.
I like hard London water.
He's a Wimbledon boy.
Yeah.
He's a Wimbledon boy.
I know Wimbledon well.
Yeah.
Great water.
Yeah.
No limescale in it.
No, not
You can have a kettle for 10 years, not have to clean it.
Yeah, that's what's saying. What I found.
Yeah,
my mum says that every time I call her.
Yeah.
Like, still not got the new kettle.
See that?
It's the same kettle we had when you were born. She says.
I had to descale it once.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Pop knobs or bread, Tom Davis. Pop knobs or bread.
I'm a bread fan. I love my bread.
Yeah,
but also I do think poppadoms should be available in more places.
Yeah.
I think poppadoms should be spread out. I think they're beautiful, but I love bread. I like a bit of tiger bread before, a healthy bit of tiger bread before a meal.
Now, the tiger bread, we've not really discussed the tiger bread in too much detail, have we?
No, I don't think it's come up very often, which is weird because it's a nice bread.
But does it taste any different to normal bread, or is it just tiger bread because it's got those like stripes on the top that make it look like a tiger? Man.
Fresh tiger bread, that softness, like a good mattress. It's just really decent with a nice salty butter.
Yeah.
I knew that I was doing well for myself when the butter started coming out without a wrap around it.
That's nice.
That's not, life's getting ritzy.
The way you put that suggested that it's the same restaurant you were going to the whole time. But it was only at a certain point they went, we better start unwrapping this butter. Yeah.
Just someone in the kitchen going, Tom Davis is in, unwrap that butter. Pull it out.
He won't be getting greasy fingers today.
The Toby Carvery. Yeah. Mr. Davis, we've unwrapped your butter and here's your tap water. Oh,
things are going well for me.
Yeah. I think things are going to be. I used to make a lot of bread. I used to be obsessed with soda bread became my thing. I used to love like Guinness bread.
I love that sort of bread.
Yeah, I used to love, but I think a tiger bread's really hard to get the proper texture to it. It's a really, it's a hard one. Because this is an unknown little fact of me. Yeah. I trained as a chef. And so when I was scaffolding and like working on site, I hated doing what I was doing. So for about two and a half years. So I trained at nights doing Carshorten College.
Wow.
Trained as a chef. And then I worked for a while at the Connaught.
Amazing.
Yeah, I like cooking. I'm a big at home, but I love things bread cooking and Bake Off would be fun. Never been asked to be on it. I know both of you guys have.
It's not fun.
Is it not fun?
No.
Really?
Yeah, it's not fun.
Not the way he did it. It is fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good fun. Yeah.
I'm hoping.
You'd smash it.
Yeah. I feel sometimes, obviously, because I've got a past in the business, maybe they you know.
Yeah, it might be different for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just do normal Bake Off and absolutely
imagine that. Yeah. Just gave it all up.
Yeah.
But this
isn't Celebrity Bake Off. I'm not celebrity anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a little bit unfair because I'm trained as a chef.
Yeah, I've started wrapping my butter again.
Yeah, gone back to wrapping my butter.
Left the celeb well behind.
Things aren't going so well, actually. Right? So put a four around that.
Yeah, sorry.
Tiger bread is, but that's my go-to.
So there is a different taste to tiger bread, you think? Like a textural thing?
I think the texture, but also the taste. I think it takes butter better than any other. Maybe soda bread. Could could go toe to toe with it. But I like a restaurant where you have unlimited bread before a meal. I like the fact that you actually, it's 50-50 whether you're going to be able to eat like your starter because you've eaten so much bread before the meal. That's a vibe I'm into.
How much tiger bread do you reckon you could put away and then still comfortably eat the meal that's about to come?
Three slices.
Nice.
Three decent sized slices.
Good.
I always think as well, it's quite nice when you get those restaurants where you can cut your own bread. I think it's presumptuous of people when they cut the bread for you. I like it when you get like a little loaf and you cut, you know. Obviously, this is pretty
What are they presuming?
You can't handle it.
It's presumptuous. What are they presuming that?
I think that you can't, like, either you can't handle a thicker slice.
Okay.
I think bread consumption's like politics.
Yep.
Never judge anyone by it. You know, you just go in. I think we should be allowed to cut our bread as we please. Uh-huh. It's a very dangerous world we live in.
Yeah.
If you were to come into, if I had like a restaurant like this one here, you two came in, I'd say, look, here it goes, a loaf. I would not want to give you a thin slice, you a thick slice. All of a sudden you're like, oh, I like thick slices.
Yeah. I'm not very good at cutting bread though. I think I'm doing it really well, and then actually it's just at an angle, and I end up with like a wedge of bread rather than a neat slice.
It's all about the softness.
Yeah,
it's all about being quite sensual. Bread is all about sensuality. Well, no, when you're making it, proofing it, feeling it, it's all about being soft.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to knead it too hard. You want to treat it nice.
Yeah.
And even when that comes down to the cutting, you keep that nice, that rhythm good.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Soft, slow to the point.
Yeah.
Right? You want to basically at the end of it, the bread to sort of, much like our rhino friend.
Yeah.
You want the bread to give you a wink and go, thank you. I felt,
This is your mate. You turn into a rhino and it's winking at you from the other side of the glass at the zoo.
Yeah. I just think you just give it,
if you're cutting into bread, it turns out it's another friend you used to work with.
Bread-itis.
He'll be gone soon.
I've noticed my penis getting soft like a baguette. I know what's happening.
Yeah, you got bread-itis.
Yeah, always enteritis. Which is always the word that they know anyway. Is giraffe bread a thing, or am I making that up in my head? Because I seem to remember seeing some giraffe bread once, but now
I'm thinking of a French stick.
Good point.
It's. But I've never heard of it.
I think it was similar to tiger bread, and I couldn't really tell the difference.
Did it have like the more like sort of giraffe sort of?
Was this what I'm thinking? Was it that? Yeah. Was it more of a giraffe?
Like there would be.
I'm thinking that. I'm thinking that it existed, but now I can't. I'm doubting it. I'm thinking it might have been a dream.
Yeah, man, what a dream.
What a dream. I mean, you know.
You could turn that dream into reality.
Just create giraffe bread myself.
Yeah. That could be the next
person who invents it.
Yeah. Wow, so many different things. I didn't know like we'd all be coming up with these new sort of ways of looking at our life.
All our ideas, man.
Yeah.
We've all been like, you know, locked down for 2 years. Now we come out, we can chat together.
We could go on the Real Bake Off together. You could hide in a cupboard.
Yeah.
And
surprising.
Yeah. We could come up with giraffe bread. Yeah, or Hollywood comes over going, what is this bread? And it's like, you've never seen anything like this before, you mug.
It'd be good, actually, if I sent in like something, like if I made it, it'd be great. But someone else was like on the show and Paul Hollywood comes along and he goes, that's brilliant. And goes to give him a Hollywood handshake and I burst out the proven drawer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was me, you mug.
And but you're all really puffed up because you've been in the proving
drawer. Yeah, I'm all proved. It was me. Who are you?
It's Jim Angus.
Wait for my skin to calm down. You'll see who it is.
One punch and you completely deflate.
Right, let's get on to your dream starter.
It's a tough one, this.
Yeah.
Because it is, like, I had to give this so much thought for the moment on you.
That's what we like.
And I plumped for a proper French onion soup.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid, first time I went abroad, we were on a school trip to Bordeaux, and we tried this French onion soup. But I remember, like, the whole way there, I was so excited about it. It was, like, the first time I'd been on a ferry.
Yeah.
Quite a few kids from my school got like detained because there was a from NAFCO.
NAFCO.
There was a NAFCO. They were big at the time. They had a shop on the ferry.
Yeah.
And a load of kids from my school went in and drummed it, like took all the shoplifted. So the sort of start of the thing was a load of kids who weren't allowed, who stole loads of bits.
Not a great place to shoplift when you're at sea.
Yeah. There's nowhere to run, is there? we'd have got away with it too.
Hold on a second. Sorry. Let's scroll back.
Scroll back. Rewind, baby.
You're on a school trip.
Yeah.
You're going to Bordeaux.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids from your school trip on the ferry over shoplift from the NAF shop.
Yeah.
and the teachers just let them be detained and everyone else carries on with us.
No, they came with us, but they weren't allowed to. I can't remember exactly what happened, but they came for the rest of the trip. Right. But they were detained on the ferry until the ferry. They didn't keep them on the ferry. They're not still there working.
Okay.
like cabin mates.
But the whole school trip still carried on, because in my school... Is this primary school, secondary school?
This is secondary school, yeah.
Yeah, if that happened in my school, I don't know if the trip would have continued.
Yeah, but I think they could ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah, I mean...
They came, but I remember because we went to a discotheque on the last night, they weren't allowed to come.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they got all the stuff back, I believe.
That's their punishment.
Apart from a couple of wallets that were sort of doing the... Yeah. Like, you know, those sort of big wallets you used to get back in the day.
With the zips.
Yeah.
They couldn't go to the disco.
Yeah, they couldn't go to the discotheque. Which, to be fair, was like quite a weird thing to go. Like, we were sort of 14, 15, and everyone else in there was in their 20s. It was sort of quite a creepy, weird thing to be taken to.
But you were taller than the people in their 20s,
fine. Yeah, and it was a fair indication of what my whole life would be like whenever I went to a nightclub, and the fact that everyone was pointing at me and laughing.
Yeah. You dressed head-to-toe in Moody Nafna.
Yeah, stolen it.
Walking over with my wallet and opening it constantly in front of people. Colour Sun teams falling out. But I was obsessed with finding this... like a proper real French onion soup with the bread at the top and the cheese, the big crouton on the top of it. I tried a couple, but found like one that was just off a store. It was just beautiful.
I held
it tight to my mind. From there, I don't think I've ever, it was so good, the taste of it. I don't think I've ever tasted a French. I mean, maybe it was the first time. It's like the first time, I was going to say you lose your virginity, but that wasn't the best time I've ever had sex.
Just never gets better after that.
No. Imagine if there was someone who's like, you know what, the best time is always the first time. And I've never had it as good.
Been chasing that high.
But chasing that sweet, sweet feeling. Crying afterwards.
The sense. The awkwardness.
the no return of the phone call.
Yeah.
Wow.
The laughing behind my back from all of my...
Imagine losing your virginity and turning to the person and going, that reminds me of my first ever French onion soup.
You'd never be top.
Woo!
That was the crouton on top.
So just imagine in my head, like, even if it's not... even if it's not your first time... Just turn into someone you just had sex with and going, it doesn't get better than that. That's really made me laugh. It doesn't get better than that.
High five.
Yeah.
Lying there with a big grin like a big Cheshire cat.
Well done.
Oh, nice one, actually, for that. That was really good. You know what?
For that.
Yeah, I don't think it could get any better than that. So there's a warm handshake.
That's like living. That's living, isn't it?
Do you like some French onion soup? I have an amazing recipe. Give me 4.5 hours. I'll give you some soup that will knock you sideways.
So you said you had tried a lot of French onion soup when you were there.
Yeah, I had a couple of tries of, like, I wanted to find...
Was everyone else, was all your other, your classmates?
They were doing cool stuff.
Being like, let's get loads of French onion soup and find the best one.
A lot of them were getting flick knives and porno cards were big at the time.
That's what, porno playing cards on a French trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Ninja Star.
Ninja Star's
what Ed got.
I was probably the only kid who wanted sort of like a decent French onion soup. But I'd heard stories,
The teacher's checking your bag after the trip to make sure there's no contraband.
Fuck ton of onions.
Just got just loads of soup swilling around in your suitcase.
David, you've been pouring cups of French onion soup into your bag? Disgusting.
Like a plastic bag within it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this home for my mum and dad. They're like this.
Who told you? None of this.
I'm so on board with this choice.
Yeah.
I love French onion soup.
The only thing that came close was there's a restaurant near me in Oakham, a place called Oakham, called Hitchin's Barn, and they do a cheese souffle of the week that is unreal. It's the best thing I've ever tasted. That is incredible.
Wow.
But it doesn't incite the same. And I think that, I'm a big fan of this podcast, and I think you have to pick with your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think, I could go with that, but I think, every time I think of that French onion soup, there's a smirk across my face.
Yeah.
And I think of the old boy selling it and the smile he gave me as I walked away, on my own.
Yeah.
Thinking, that little loan is just about to have the highlight of
it. I mean, I'm excited to hear about that. Hitchin's Barn, did you say?
Hitchin's Barn, yeah, it's incredible.
I want to go next time I go back.
Yeah.
If there's these great cheese souffles there.
Everything there is amazing. I go in there and I always shake hands and great tap water, beautiful tap water.
Great tap water, you shake their hands.
Yeah.
I want to see you try that.
What, shake their hands?
Absolutely no Tom gets away with that sort of thing, walking in, shaking everyone's hand, saying hello.
Yeah, hello, how's it doing? Yeah. Like, if I
everyone's
in.
Like, oh, great. And they're so happy to have him there shaking hands. That guy came in to shake his hand, unwrap that guy's butter. You going in there, marching up, shaking everyone's hand. Yeah. You're like, hell?
Yeah, wouldn't work. Hello! My name's James. My name is Tommy. You had a good cheese souffle. Is that correct?
Just holding their hand the whole time, nervously.
Yeah, life doesn't get better than this. Alright, everyone, here he is. Someone told him about some food again. He's trying to be like Big Tom Davis. Give me an e-chat to it.
So the French onion soup comes in those weird little bowls, right?
Yeah,
so
they're like bigger
bowls than normal soup bowls. Which is
and if you get it right, it's got a crouton on top and a crouton on the bottom, right?
And on the bottom as well.
Yeah, secret so one on the bottom.
You should have like a bread.
Like all sandwich.
It's all soaked up. Oh, and then, great. And again.
Soup sandwich.
Yeah, so, man, I think everything should be put in a sandwich.
Yeah.
I just think sandwiches are fucking king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
I'd like to open a restaurant if that might be my dream of just like everything's in a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have like an Indian meal and a like Chinese meal. You could have a roast dinner. You could have Mexican's kind of in it. Yeah. But a burrito within bread.
Yeah. So people don't have to eat, cause obviously with the soup, it's not like you're eating it like you're not picking it up and eating it like a sandwich, but
no.
You're going, the point is it's between two bits of bread.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you
can eat it however you want.
Bread makes everything better.
Uh-huh.
It's like medicine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You think about any meal that you've ever had in your life, and would bread be good? I still ask for a roll after any course in any restaurant so I can mop stuff up.
Any course in any restaurant. Yeah, yeah. Any course.
Apart from dessert.
Yeah.
I'm not a heathen.
Sushi restaurant? Are you asking for a bread roll to mop your soy sauce up?
Send a man on the conveyor belt for it.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Best breakfast I had is actually, we're not talking breakfast, but in Burmese, there used to be a place. You used to do these sweet rolls.
Yeah.
And on top, you'd have like poached eggs, and it was all covered in soy sauce.
Oh, amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The saltiness, the sweet. Oh, hello.
What was that place called?
I can't remember its name. I used to sort of go down and hang when I lived on Bermondsey Street. I used to pop in there, and they used to sort of nod at me. They knew what I wanted.
Yeah, was it on the menu, or were they like, here comes the bread guy.
The bread guy.
Here comes Breddy.
He thinks this is... Why did we do this for him? He thinks this is on the menu.
We did it once as a joke.
Yeah.
And he keeps going like, please have another sweet...
He keeps on bringing his idiot friends in. We'll have 10 of them.
Sweet bread rolls, come in soy sauce, please. Okay. He's still... I used to work in Bermondsey, and there was a shop right next to the station, and I'd go in every morning and get a custard Danish from there.
Oh, nice.
And at the time, I thought it was the best custard Danish ever. I'd look forward to it. An hour on the tube to get there, and I'd be thinking about that custard Danish the whole time. Well, not the whole time. Well, kind of. I'd get on at one end in Bounds Green, and I'd get a flapjack from the flapjack man.
What?
Wow.
And then I'd eat the flapjack on the tube. And then as soon as I finish the flapjack, I'll start thinking about the custard Danish.
Oh.
Every day?
Yes.
That's a living life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You live it. You don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk.
And
on a Friday, if I was lucky, if I was lucky, this would just happen anyway, in the staff room, they'd put out those Marks and Spencer's mini bites tubs, and I'd always be the first one there, so I'd absolutely clean them up, do the rounds. Everyone else would always be too polite to eat them, so you know, I'd wait until we've had the morning briefing. Then just go around, do the rounds again, have another load of them.
The Rice Krispie Square ones?
Oh, like all of them. Like, there'll be a different one on each table in the staff room, and I'll be really eyeing up certain ones. One of the millionaires.
Did you have an order, like a list of, like, I'm going to hit up this
mini? The Rocky Road was the holy grail.
Oh.
Do they have the ones that are like mini rolls? Like the they're called like very chocolatey rolls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
with the chocolate around them.
Yeah.
I don't get the politeness of like people. Like if I'm at a buffet, I'm steaming in. As soon as like the tops are taken off a little bit, like the cream films comes off, I'm there. Yeah.
All right, you mean the top of the containers?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, what buffets you're going to? Where
top off.
As soon as everyone's tops are off,
you got to get come on, everyone. Let's take our clothes off and eat. This is weird.
Buffet at a swing.
You try the profit or else.
Again, you'd get away with that more than I would.
Yeah.
People who accept it from you.
But there's always people who are a little polite. I think it's rude if you don't get stuck into food straight away. I think it's a sign. And then, you know, scoffing it back. And I think the sounds of someone eating your food is the best testament to how nice it is.
The noises, food noises.
I would rather that than someone reserves, oh, this is delicious. I think
it's good acting straight away, by the way.
Yeah, very well. I can slip in and out.
That was good.
Eating Guy, that was how my first three roles.
That's good character, man. Didn't really work on the live circuit, did it?
No. It was quite hard.
It was a stretch over 20.
My first Edinburgh. Oh, fucking hell, he's not even on the main course. He's been eating that French onion soup for 10 minutes.
Some bad previews where you burnt your mouth in the first 2 minutes.
Steve Bennett's absolutely slaughtered me.
I'd arrive on some mixed bill gigs, go straight to the green room. Was he doing Eating Guy again? Yeah. He's on there. And he's doing Eating Guy right now on stage.
Actually, to be fair, the finale when he eats ice cream is amazing.
Yeah, they love that.
The last thing you want to hear the MC going, I'll just bring you on straight after Eating Guy. I'll just keep the night rolling. No, please do a bit.
Do something in between us. Come on.
Just ask you what's on the menu.
Yeah.
A lot of mime going on the podcast.
It's one of my problems. I'm a very physical kind of guy. And that doesn't translate well on a podcast.
Well, before we move on, Charlotte Church chose this last week, by the way, French onion soup. Does it surprise you to learn that you've got that in common?
I think it's just great company. I think great minds think alike when it comes to French onion soup. I like to think that everyone's got a little bit of French onion soup in them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think you thought that through before you said it.
No, maybe I didn't.
But I liked it. Do you think you and Charlotte Church are similar in more than outside of...
I'd like to think that, in a sense, sort of like... Two renegades, like she was sort of like this. Well, she was actually like a young person who was really, really good in their youth. My youth was pathetic. I worked on a building. Actually, we couldn't be more different. apart from our love of French onion soup.
Yeah.
But I think if we went to a restaurant together, we'd just eat French onion soup and every now and again look up and go, this is nice.
Yeah.
And have nothing else to talk about. Yeah.
It unites people though, doesn't it, French onion soup?
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it. Yeah, that's why the French are all so happy.
Were people who said called you voice of an angel at any point in your life?
No, I've never had angel sort of put in any of my... Not sort of feet of an angel or like... I don't even think you can use angel anywhere else and, laugh of an angel.
It's always voice of an angel.
Yeah. And angels do a lot of fucking...
Angel hair?
Angel hair is a pasta, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you
actually, to be fair, when my hair was really thinning, it was quite like angel hair. Thin, angel. Wispy pasta. Yeah. Thin, wispy hair. Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's the pasta actually you least want your hair to be like. Angel hair pasta.
Sure.
Just going to Turkey for a hair transplant and going, can I get a sort of penne kind of vibe to my hair, please? Like a thick penne. A linguine. Linguine would be nice.
Or just two sheets of lasagna. Just like 90s curtains.
I had those.
Oh, did you?
I had those with an undercut.
Oh, great.
Cherished times.
Love to have seen that.
Yeah, honestly, when I look at both of you, all three of you guys with your beautiful hair, man.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, but now you can pull the hat off.
Yeah.
Just for the listener, Tom's got one of those sort of big flat caps on. I think you're the only person I've ever seen make those look good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, outside of Last of the Summer Wine.
Which was my inspiration.
Those guys look legit.
Yeah. And Peaky Blinders, which is...
And Peaky Blinders.
That your go-to was the last of the Summer Wine
prequel.
It's the very last of Summer Wine, actually. Peaky Blinders is like...
That would be so genius if, like, that was the prequel
the end
to
of
it.
Peaky Blinders, they go, I'm going to start calling you Compo.
Yeah. Like, what? Gets in a bathtub. What the hell?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class
and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Dream main course.
I've gone with a typical Irish boxy. All my family's from a place in Ireland called Mayo. Uh-huh. And it's one of, it takes me back to sort of school holidays. We go over there on holiday. It's essentially just a stew. Uh-huh. Cooked with, you know, with or without dumplings, a nice bit of soda bread, but it's a beautiful thing. It's like some good mashed potato. I think it's the food that probably makes me happiest. Lovely. I think, you know, and that weird thing of trying to recreate it at home, and you can never get the carrots quite sweet enough.
Yeah.
Or there's a trick to it all, I think. It's like a magician's.
It's not even being the pot, just using the same pot all the
time.
Yeah.
The flavours are sort of like so ingrained in it. Yeah. It's a good. I took my wife now back to where I came from, Mayo, for this sort of trip of like, you know, just before we got married, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take you back to where I come from. It's a tiny little place called Roy Carter, which is near Belmullet, which is sort of on the sort of like furthest peak of Ireland. And I hadn't been back for years. So I was like, look, we're going to go and, you know, you can sort of see like where my grandmother was born and all that. So we're driving over there and the sat-nav basically stops, can't find this place, Roy Carter. It's quite a tough little place to find. So we sort of pull over in Belmullet. We're going to this petrol station and I'm like, I'm going to do this accent, right?
Yes.
But like this accent... And Mio, they have this kind of sort of singing way of talking when you're talking to you. I can't do it greatly, but I'm going to try.
I haven't been there. Yeah, so that sounded like a legit accent.
I go into the petrol station. I was like, hi, I'm looking for Roy Carter. And this man goes, starts me, what do you want with Roy Carter? What do you want to go there? And I said, oh, I'm over there. Like, my family's from there. Like, my grandmother. What's your grandmother's name now? Bridget Lally. Bridget Lally's dead. She's been dead for about 20. I know she's dead. She's dead. But my uncle's Dennis and Teddy Lally. Dennis is in a mental lunch. She was in Teddy's dead. I was like, yeah, I know this. They're my uncles. And he's like, well, what do you want there? I said, well, I'm going to take my what? Yeah. I basically had to do an interview to go to this fucking place, right? So I do this whole thing. And he's like, well, follow me. I'll show you a right character. So we get in the car and we drop, me and my wife are driving. He speeds off. My wife's trying to keep up, right? Speeds through the country. We turn up at Roy Carter and he runs into this B&B pub we're staying in and the whole pub comes out, right? And I sort of come out. It's quite intimidating.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of nowhere, like sort of like, you know, the wilderness of Ireland. And my wife's like, oh my God, what's happening? And I was like, don't worry, I've got this. I get out of the car and the woman who runs the B&B is like, what do you want here? He says that you're related to Bridget Lally now. She's dead. She's been dead for about 20 years. I said, I know Bridget Lally is my grandmother. And she says, he says, no, you're Dennis and Tate's nephew. You know that Dennis and Mental Institution Tate is dead now. I said, yeah, no, they're my uncles. It's, yeah. I come from, like, this is, I want to sort of, like, it's a sort of me retracing and showing my wife, like, where I'm from and the, you know, where my family's from. And my wife was like, we have a room booked here. And she was like, we've got one room booked tonight in the name of Mick and Mary Murphy. Is that you? And I went, no, I'm Tom Davis. And like, this is my fiance, Catherine Murphy. And she was like, Murphy, maybe we got the name wrong. Well, Mary Mick, will you come in? I was like, no, like, that's not right. So take us to this fucking nuts room, right? We're there for like 4 or 5 days where we're driving around.
Yeah.
And for the whole time, she's calling me Mick, my wife Mary. It was like an insane place. It was like something from a comedy sketch.
And they never showed up.
Yeah, no. Because I think they had just literally not heard what my wife was saying and just put these names down.
Yeah, had a guess.
This, like, sort of the, like, I think, like, the penultimate night we're there. I'm sort of like, I was in a bar chatting to some people, and she comes with a worried look on her face. She said, "Can I have a word with you, Mick?" I was like, yeah. There's a young man over there who says that you're an actor by the name of Tom Davis. He's got it so wrong. I said, no, that is me. I am Tom Davis. I'm an actor by the name. Well, no, when you got here, you said you were Bridget Lally's grandson. I was like, yeah, no, I am Bridget Lally's grandson. And Dennis and Teddy's nephew. I said, yeah, no, I, you know, but he's convinced you're an actor. I said, no, I am an actor. I'm an actor, but I'm also related to Bridget and Taylor and she's like, well, who the fucking hell is Mick Murphy? I have no idea who fucking Mick Murphy is, right? And she's, this is quite the conundrum we have on our hands. And I was like, it's really not a conundrum. It's anyway. She still writes to me, like, on, like, DM me on from this place. Oh, just stay right in. It's an incredible place. Anyway. Great. I digress, but I am. So I had this vision of, like, taking. I'm obsessed with food, and I'm obsessed with the memories that. That's why I love this podcast, but the memories and feelings that food incites, I think, is the only thing, like food and music. Anyway, I was like saying to my wife, like, we have to go to this place. I'm such fond memories of, like, this boxy that my grand, you know, we used to go to with my parents, and it's beautiful, like, little sort of pub. And so we go there and we sit down. It's quite clear quite early on that this has been taken over by a chain. And the mashed potato was smashed. Nothing was cooked like properly. And then we spent the rest of the time me trying to find the perfect boxy, which I didn't for a while. So it's a sort of hallowed thing that I sort of think back and remember. But it's the only main course that I could pick to sit in this restaurant and look at.
I know how you feel, man. Oh. It's heartbreaking when it's like, it's not only just gone from like, oh, it's not as good.
Yeah.
It's like it's smashed potato.
Smashed potato, by the way, is like the, in a restaurant, I get it, like, you know, but it's the laziest thing to cook.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Genuinely, it's like in a restaurant, it's like, come
you can
on.
Mash a potato, it's not that much.
Well, it's actually quite difficult to get it right.
Okay.
And to mash them really good. Yeah. To like get really good quality mash that like is really good.
Well, you're the mash king, but.
Is that your thing?
And the mash
king. Are you like the guy at Christmas who, like, everyone I grew up with and everyone I sort of know from sort of like my mate, so to say, always will say at Christmas, they'll go, no, she does all the cooking, obviously, apart from the roast potatoes, because I'm the king of roast potatoes.
Yeah.
Like, fucking take to do that one fucking thing. What do you do it the rest? I only do it for Christmas. I only do them like, it's like the family can only get their minds around it once a year. It's like, oh,
it's good.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it wouldn't be so special. You know what would be special? You fucking getting off your ass, giving your fucking wife a hand fucking every other Sunday the fucking year, and maybe learning another trick. You got your fucking head around roast potatoes. Like a miracle thing. You parboil it, you throw them in a bit of oil. You can't really fuck it up, Jeff. Nah, that's what I do. The key. And then someone, how do you do yours then, mate?
Yeah. And you know they're not that good.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not
that good. It's like soggy as fuck.
Yeah. And he talks about them for the whole meal as well.
Yeah. No. That's the thing that you know happens. Like the wives, they're sweating. Like, okay, yeah. Turkey, okay. Bread sauce, all right. Yeah. Sprouts, they're not too. As if one, still some roast potatoes left over here.
And they've made it too awkward. No one can tell them that they're shit because they've talked them up all day. Then they've done them, and then they sit down, and then they ask people directly.
How are those potatoes?
Right. So you're gonna say they're great. You're not gonna go, actually, I think you're insane. Like, you've been talking about them all day long, and they just taste like any other roasties I've had. They're just very normal, and if anything, they are a bit damp, but they're not very nice.
Yeah.
Like, they're not as crispy as I was hoping they were. You made them sound like they were going to be.
You left the skins on, you lazy swine.
Yeah. These are not good.
Do you remember pubs? I used to love a pub with a roast potato.
Yeah.
It used to be one of my favourite things in the world on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Just like roast potatoes coming over the bar.
Oh.
Just a little wink from a knowing face.
Yes, please.
I'll tell you what, that's the sort of thing I wish they'd bring back. Mm-hmm. I think the communities lived and died on things like that.
Yeah.
Roast potatoes.
I thought knowing faces.
Knowing faces as well was good. Yeah. Cheers, basically, isn't it?
Our trip to New York that we talk about all the time, but not the off-menu one, but the New Year's one that Ed and I went on. We got poutine somewhere once. And we were expecting, you know, chips.
Yeah.
And it was roast potatoes. And I mean, that was incredible.
Yeah.
But
I think potatoes are king.
They're great.
Yeah. Are we going to see a little appearance of potatoes coming up in your menu?
Well, yeah. It would be amiss of me not to.
Yeah.
Are we sidestepping into the side dish right now? And is potatoes?
I feel like I should whisper.
Or are they already included in the boxy? Which, by the way, I've never heard that before.
You've never had a boxy?
I've never had it, but never heard the term.
No, yeah. Me neither.
I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah.
It's boxy.
I can
Irish
absolutely
stew.
Imagine what it is. I've heard Irish stew before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, I suppose, like scouse or like anything. Like it's sort of like the Irish version of that. So they do these potatoes out there as well called, well, I think, because again, I'm a potato nut. I love potatoes. Mm-hmm. I'm in an R in here.
Yeah.
Because the way I see this, I will stand by this meal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if it comes to a point where I'm on the electric chair,
yep,
and someone says, what's your final meal go? I'll be like, go back, listen to me on off menu, and source out those ingredients, please.
I think people really overestimate the effort that they'll go to on the death sentence wing. Yeah, they're not going, okay, we've really got to, he's
it's
asked for
pizza,
this.
It's pizza, mate, or it's Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It's basically KFC or pizza, that's all it is, yeah.
Also, look, I'm sure you're sick of hearing about your height all the time and stuff like that, but you saying about you being on the electric chair just makes me think of Green Mile. That guy's massive.
And it just
makes me think of like the whole of Green Mile, but you're playing John Coffey.
Yeah.
A remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me take it back, boss. That's me doing you.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Tom Davis.
That's good.
That's a really great impression.
My name's not, I can't go as deep.
You haven't quite got the timbre.
Yeah, my voice doesn't do it.
Yeah.
I can't go deep.
We're like, all right,
my name's Tom Davis.
That was good.
Nah.
You start.
Nah.
You've really just got to go as, all right.
Yeah, there's no way. No, neither of us are getting
it. I'll take it back, boss. I try to take it back, boss.
I'm sort of. Like, what's happening is you can't go low, so you've just added a bit of a lisp.
Yeah.
Sound like that snake out of Robin Hood.
You'd be great at that.
In a like Robin Hood. Yeah.
Remake.
Yeah. You know what? Because, I'd love to be Little John in that.
Yeah, I'd like to be the snake.
Yeah. That's a dream. But you'd be Robin Hood, right?
I could be Robin Hood.
You got the goods.
Yeah, you got. Thanks. Yeah, I think actually you'd be an amazing Robin Hood.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Yeah, because what's great about you? You've got that sort of like cherub look. You've got a great little face, but also you've got wisdom in your eyes.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. A wise cherub.
Yeah,
a knowing look. Would you say a knowing look? Would you say?
Yeah, I'd say no. But I'd also say like, say me and you were knocking about the Sherwood Forest and he rocked up.
Yeah,
I like the thought that I'm Little John and you probably be Will Scarlet. You could help me.
Don't let him
anywhere near that fucking bow and arrow, mate.
Yeah.
Keep it to a star fight.
Yeah, so Robin Hood should look like a cherub with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. A cherub with a knowing look at his firing arrows going, yeah, that won't last.
He knew that was going to hit.
What meat is in the stew, by the way? Is it?
I think it's a lamb. Yeah, I think it's a lamb. It's a bit like one of those things where I've never really asked. It's just there on the menu. I think it's a lamb.
I guess maybe if it's a case of making a massive thing to sort of
It was a impoverished food. I suppose it was whatever you had basically in a cup. Mm. I think they're the best meals sometimes.
Yeah, sure. Ask no questions.
Yeah, tell no lies. Handshake, walk out.
Ask no questions, tell no lies. Shake their hand, walk out.
Not you, though.
Not me.
Yeah.
I would ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Have some questions. No lies, please. Shake my hand. Good piece of meat. What is in this?
It doesn't get better than this.
This is the life. This is the life. I'd love to start saying that more. I'm going to try.
Yeah. I think you should. Yeah. Or enjoy it.
Yeah, try and say it a bit more. This is the life.
I think, also,
in situations where, like I like to like sit on a train next to a stranger and, like, half an hour into the journey, just go, this is the life. And, like, there's stuff like that.
On a roller coaster.
Yeah, the thing I love.
Roller coaster would be a fun thing to sort of, like.
Yeah, but roller coaster's too much fun, right?
Being on a
like, just selling it to them, I think
just
the train
so
journey
happy.
Is.
Where are you in a house or a flat?
Flat at the minute.
Yeah. You know, when you're taking out your sort of, make sure you've got a couple of the other neighbours taking out their bins.
Yeah.
And then just sort of give one a little tap on the shoulder and go, this is the life.
Yeah, recycling bins, though, is what
I go
in the recycling bins, go, this is the life.
Or stand out there, take your bin out really early and stand out there the whole morning.
Yeah.
And every time someone brings out a bin, just give them a little Wednesday. This is a life.
I might do it in the lift, actually.
It can't sound sarcastic at all.
It has to be properly, you believe
that this is
in
the life.
In my building, the best way I could do it is in the lift. Because that seems like, oh, this is like a exciting that we're in the lift. And I can say, like, I press the button as it starts going up. Just go, this is the life, am I right?
That you put too much emphasis. The one you did before is beautiful.
Yeah. This is the life.
No, no, this is a, this is the life.
This is the life. Just to myself.
I had an Uber driver the other day and I got in and it's the happiest man I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And he went, from where did God send you to me? I got to the bottom of it. It turns out he just lives near where I live, so he was happy to be driving back in the direction, in the same direction.
Was he like that happiness the whole way?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Man.
I put my headphones in, but
really, I'd have just jumped on the skateboard of that guy's happiness and just surfed home.
Yeah,
I don't know. I should have said surfed. You surf on a skateboard?
No, skate.
Skate, didn't you? Yeah.
Straight to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Don't try and surf on a skateboard, mate.
Well, you learn something every day.
In the new Jackass film, are you? Went to see it the other night. Brilliant. 5 stars.
Is it good?
nothing makes Benito laugh more than how much James genuinely loves Jackass with all his heart.
I went to watch the Bad Grandpa one they did.
Yeah, great.
And it's one of the happiest moments of my life.
Yeah,
everyone was just in such high spirits.
Yeah.
Actually, I talked about this with Rom, and he didn't believe it. But when we were leaving, I was laughing so much still. I slapped someone on the back and said, that was funny.
Yeah.
This is the life.
This is the life. And that really was the life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
If I could have whispered to him and say, you know what, in 10 years, we're all going to be stuck inside.
Yeah.
Fucking enjoy it, kid.
Yeah, enjoy this while we can.
Get yourself another popcorn and get back in there and watch it again. So my side dish.
Mm.
So it was between fondant potatoes, which I adore.
Yeah,
but I think I have to stick with that sort of Irish vibe and go. They did like these scallop potatoes, which are like really finely sliced, put in a deep fat fryer, covered in salt, and they are so sexy.
Yeah, that was fucking hell.
Really, was
I've never had
sexual.
Anyone's attention
as
much as I had yours in that. There was a moment
you were describing it really well.
That felt like eating in French onion soup again.
Ooh la la.
they're crispy. Mm. I remember going to watch the football over in Ireland, and they come in like a bag, so it all soaks into the bag, the salt, the grease.
Uh-huh.
And I remember like going in, ordering a bag, going like eating them on the way to the pub, thinking these are fucking amazing. The whole first half I'm watching thinking, I need some more of those. I need some more. So half time I went and bought 4 bags, pretending that I was like buying them for other people.
Yeah.
And I just sat on a wall and just fucking scoffed at myself.
Did you have to sit on a wall? Did you have a seat?
If I'm going to enjoy anything,
sure.
I think that that's something that, you know, it wasn't even a high wall, James. It was quite a low wall, but
yeah.
I think if...
Knees up around your ears.
Yeah. Again, I'm picturing...
Squatting on the wall like a frog.
Yeah.
Like a frog. Look at that weird fellow. Do you remember that Simpsons episode where a really tall guy gets in a small car like that?
Love it.
Just people driving
find
past,
something
going,
amusing about my appearance when I drive my automobile? One of the best episodes.
A great episode.
Yeah.
When you were buying the 4 bags of scallop potatoes, pretending they were for other people, how deep did you go into that? Yeah. Were you like, oh, I can't, bit less salt on that one. I think Tony's... Tony's on a
I
low
wish
salt
I had done
diet,
it.
So.
I was like an addict.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, come on, mate. Yeah. No, I've got to get back for the next... also, I wasn't that far away, by the way, from the place I brought them when I ate them all. Sure. So it would have basically taken someone to walk out a little bit further from the doorway to go, oh, second half must be back. Oh, hold up. John, big fella who bought there. Come here, come here.
We saw her eat the bag, and then he's clearly been thinking about it the whole first half. Every time
another bit of
over.
Acting.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
snorting,
really.
Just snorting down a load of potatoes.
Wolfing them down, and no sauce needed.
No sauce.
I think that's the hallmark of incredible potatoes.
Yeah.
I think some potato, I think, like, we're talking about average roast potato, boom, you need gravy.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think a lot of potatoes are sort of like ketchup becomes their crutch.
Uh-huh.
But I think with these...
Just salt.
Just sweet salt. Yeah.
And as your side dish, do you want 4 bags of them?
Yeah. I have four bags.
Yeah, 4 bags.
And I think because I'm in such a special place, I won't feel the sort of pathetic sort of like looming sort of judgment that I did when I, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because you do love potatoes so much, you were torn between different types. You got a top 10 ways to have potatoes.
Top 10, wow.
I'd say top 5 to people, or top 3, well, but because it's... Because you think that
so be,
you've got more of a passion.
I'd go to scallop potato, then I'd go a really good roast potato.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, someone's really taking their time.
Yeah.
I'd then go to the honest jacket.
So fondant potatoes isn't...
No. And a fondant potatoes is a special, special occasion. It depends also what you're cooking it in, what kind of stock. I mean, you could almost go, you know, cook it to the chicken stock, but I go fondant potato after the jacket. Yeah. If I'm honest with you, I'm caught in the crosshairs here a little bit. Yeah. So I'm sort of just listing potatoes.
You haven't had time to order them.
No. I'm looking through. I go mashed potatoes
without
skin. I can
tell you're filling for time when you called it the honest jacket. The honest jacket, of course.
I'd go mashed potatoes without skin.
Yeah.
Then I'd go mashed potatoes with skin.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Right. Okay. I'd go chips. I think chips are overrated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's one of the hottest takes we've ever had on the podcast, and we're reacting like it's not. But like,
yeah, that's a big thing.
There's a lot of people. Probably just threw their headphones to the ground in disgust and stamped them.
No, I think chips are sort of, they're lucky to be on the list, but I do enjoy them if they're cooked really well, if they're cooked incredibly well. But yeah. I think like a jacket potato.
Jacket potato over chips.
Oh, mate, every day. If I go into a harvester, the first thing I'm doing.
Interesting.
Changing the chips. Yeah,
I think you're absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that sounds
really
crazy.
The jacket potato is a blight.
Yeah. What?
I hate a jacket potato.
It'd be very far down my list.
Are you kidding?
No.
Like a jacket
probably
potato.
The only time I've ever been serious on this podcast.
With a nice rock salt, just sort of like grained into it, olive oil on the skin.
No.
Then look, I'm not saying that's not nice, but I'm saying that.
Load it up with a bit of cream cheese, baked beans.
Yeah, I like all. Well, I don't like baked beans. Baked beans are horrible.
What?
Disgusting. But I like the things you put on jacket potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I eat that, I'll just eat the top off it and I'll be like, there's a load of potato left there. I'm not having that.
Are you kidding?
It's also, too floury.
What I'm doing with a jacket potato is that I'm mashing up the contents
of it. This is insane.
I'm turning it into mashed potato.
I thought this was
essentially to make it nicer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get it, but then you've got the skin. It's like the sort of, that's a handshake with God. The skin, if it's cooked perfectly, is like, wow.
Hello, God, how are you? That's how
you're not shaking.
No, it's beautiful.
Nice to meet you, divine creator.
The skin of a jacket potato is like the best bit of everything. Man, that's absolutely...
I don't mind the skin. Like, I like a potato skin.
Sure. Yeah.
But I like a potato skin.
I'm putting chips, french fries, dauphinoise...
Dauphinoise comes low down for me, though.
What?
That's going... fondant potatoes. I'm putting all them above a jacket potato in a heartbeat.
I'm putting everything above it. Yeah, dauphinoise, pomana.
Mash.
I'm saying now that jacket potato, the wholesomeness of a jacket potato on a Sunday like evening when you've, you know, you're like, oh, you know, cheese, beans, or tuna fish and sweet corn.
Ugh. Not tuna fish and sweet corn.
Anyway. Have you been to Quality Chop House?
No. I
want to introduce you to just the potato that's going to blow your mind.
Really?
As a potato man, you've got to get to Quality Chop House. They do something called a confit potato where they thinly sliced potato.
I think I've seen it all up. Yeah.
And like put it all in a big tray and then cut it into like sort of chip sized things and then fry that. And it is just, it's just the best thing in the world.
Well,
I'm going to hit that up.
Yeah, you got to.
And when I walk in, I'm going to go, Ellen James sent me.
Shake everyone's hand.
Yeah, walk around. Yeah. Okay, little ruffle of the hair with the chef.
Little scamp. You were talking earlier about getting hate on social media. After this podcast goes out, you might want to lie low for a while.
Yeah.
Slagged off chips and put jacket potato ahead of them because you are going to get it.
But I think we're going to get it for slagging off jacket potatoes as well.
We'll see about that.
I think I'd like to see a world where you could see chips and jacket potatoes go head to head somehow.
Mm. Yeah.
Like get 1,000 people.
Poll?
A poll.
We'll do a poll.
Easy to do a poll, but like chips is going to absolutely murder you.
Yeah.
but
we might get shit from some people for jacket potato, but it'll be like old people.
All right, I'm going to say it now. If it is an absolute like 300 kind of scenario here, where they get an absolute maul in, everyone who votes for jacket potatoes, get in touch with me and we'll like have a jacket potato club or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, you've just opened yourself up to an absolute world of pain because everyone who likes jacket potatoes is going to contact you now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to set up a jacket potato club.
And every tweet should be read in this voice. Hello, Tom. I like jacket potatoes.
Did you say everyone who likes jacket potatoes is Christian?
Yeah, earlier. I said that earlier, yeah. It's just my example of a boring person, apparently, but I'm from a Christian family.
Yeah. This could be the most controversial I've ever been.
Well, some people would say that chips should just objectively be the side of choice for everyone, that it's actually the best decision.
If you're going to have a side dish and potatoes are an option, I think you should have at least 10 different potatoes that people can have.
Yeah.
Why has it never been just like a potato restaurant?
Or at least like a potato table. Like there should be a restaurant that, you know, got a varied menu, does different main courses, but the potato selection is like just everything.
Like a dessert trolley for potatoes. Yeah.
Well,
so
they
like
wheel it out and they've got all the selection there.
Yeah. Well, you know, like when you go to certain meat places and they've got all, you know, which bit of steak do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they bring,
like the Brazilian barbecue places where they bring it around on a skewer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's just loads of people going around with different trays of potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets so full so quick. Like 10 minutes in, you'd be like, oh, God. That's the name of the restaurant, is that? Oh, God.
No, but you just have it as a side. So it's like, it's not like you have to eat, you know, a whole load of potatoes every time, but it's just that.
Yeah. And I think people would really, that's where you'd really see the potato become probably the superstar of sort of world cuisine.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, it's already doing pretty well for
us. No, it is. But you know what? It's just a staple at the moment. It's not got all the, it's just living an okay life.
Yeah.
It's not getting the kudos it deserves. It's not, you know, it's like bubble tea and stuff. They have their moment in the sun.
Yeah.
The potato's just, I'll have some chips or I'll have a jacket potato. It's not like, oh, I'll have some chips. Because they're the new thing on the...
Well, a jacket potato is the only one that's a meal in its own right.
Yes.
So that's saying
a lot.
And
there is a jacket potato shop that actually closed in Soho that specialised in jacket potatoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was devastated when that happened.
There was that crisp shop as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Just crisps.
I think it was called Hip Chips or something like that.
Yeah. Oof. Is that gone as well?
I think that might have gone, yeah.
And maybe the potato just isn't big enough to stand on its own. It's a sad thing, isn't it?
Unless you
actually,
do all the types.
I actually genuinely feel really heartbroken for the potato, that it's just, I actually feel like crying.
Yeah.
But the potato does it
make you feel any better that chip shops are a thing and have done really well?
Yeah.
No, fish and chip shops.
Yeah.
No, it's not a chip shop that stands on its own.
But they call it the chippy, though, right?
Yeah,
people go in and get just chips. I mean.
Yeah, but it's not held, it has to have a sidekick. It has that, well, or is the sidekick.
I reckon you could just open a shop that was just the chips, and if the chips are good enough, people.
You
be
know,
there.
If that happens.
Yeah.
I will come back and I will say, you know what? Thank you, Chips, for every potato I've ever.
We'll have you back on for another episode, and it's 1 minute long.
Yeah, and it's just me going, thank you, Chips. Well, it doesn't even have to be a minute long. I could probably just do it as a soundbite and send it in. I could probably do a couple of me eating impressions just to.
Yeah, all the different potatoes.
Yeah. People have to guess which one it is. Yeah. Do you want to do 3 impressions now of you eating different types of chips and.
Different types of potatoes.
Okay, so you've got to guess which one this is.
Different types of potato, but here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to do them. We are going to guess, and you're going to tell us if, you know, we got it right, just like normal. But in the edit, Benito will only have you eating the chips, and in the following episode, he will include the answers.
Amazing. Okay.
So he's not going to do it in this one.
So much work.
He's going to hold out the answers until next week.
I've got you. Okay. My first one. I'm not. What I was going to do is do the actions.
Yeah.
But now it's just going to be the.
Yeah, what? For the listener, it just needs to be the sound. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's potatoes.
It must be a mash because it's a soft, you know.
Yeah.
That was mashed potato with skins off.
Skins off, yeah. Sorry,
it's more specific. Sorry.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. People are absolutely going to hate this, by the way.
I'm quite enjoying it. I think that's Dauphinoise.
No, there's more texture to it than that. I mean, obviously now I'm expecting a mash with the skins on at some point, but I'm not sure you'd do it straight away. So, I'd go roast.
It was my favourite kind of potato. It was the scallop potato.
Oh,
eating them quickly, smashing them. Yeah, yeah.
That's unfair, because earlier you were going...
when you went by my nose,
I would have got that.
Yeah. Okay. Look, is this the last one?
Last one.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes it. Oh, he likes that one.
Well, again, it's quite soft, so I'm guessing. Like...
No. It's a hard one, this one.
There's a bit of bite to it. There's a bit of bite.
Fondant potato.
Tom, are we in a world where you're just making the noise and you're deciding afterwards?
No, not in that world. No, we're not. No, it's not fondant potato. I'm still doing the impression.
So your guess?
I mean, is it mashed with skins?
No.
What was it?
A roast potato.
Oh.
A roast one.
That's why I had to try and get the crunch there.
Yeah, the crunch there.
It's good going.
Yeah.
And the nodding was trying to sort of allude to the character that I'm at, sort of someone's...
This is how good an actor you are. I really want some potatoes.
I really want
some potatoes.
That game as well is so much better, I think, when you can see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
we'll see how many people get it at home, you know? We'll see who gets it. Your dream drink.
You know what? Recently I've stopped... drinking alcohol now. So it's been 7 months since the Euros. I sort of made a deal with myself to sort of...
So was this start of the Euros or the end of
the Euros? The end of Euros.
So what happened? The major final game,
the semi-final, I was drinking with like a load of people after the game.
Yeah.
Quite a few people younger than me, and I was drinking out of a pitcher jug. Uh-huh. And someone walked past them, and there's a cigarette butt in that pitcher. Uh-huh. I drank probably half of it, and someone stuffed a fag out in it. And I thought, I'm fucking 42. Like, I'm about to be a father. This is fucking bleak.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
So I put down that pitcher, said goodbye to everyone and my friends, and
never seen them again.
No. I said, look, good luck with your roast potatoes. And and I walked away. And then from there, I drank so much. I was sort of like, it was a part of my life that was just sort of constant, like pub. Yeah. From working on sites to then doing stand up and then working like as an actor, it felt like alcohol was just a massive part of that.
Yeah.
And actually, I was like, I'm just a bit done with that. Yeah. So 7 months. So now soft drinks are king. And like, it's a bit of a weird one, this, because I've listened to this podcast a lot. Yeah. So I know where it's like Diet Pepsi vibe. Yeah. I'm obsessed with Coke Zero.
Okay.
So I'm a Coke Zero kind of guy.
Yeah.
I love a Coke Zero.
Yeah.
I think like, I have it pretty much with at least one meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
I like the ice cold fizziness of it. As you know, I like an ice cold drink.
Yeah. Is it colder in Kettering?
It's colder if I put it in the freezer for half an hour before my meal. I love a Coke Zero.
Why are you choosing Coke Zero over a Diet Coke, for example?
I don't know. I think the taste is just, Coke Zero is so much better the taste.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I just find, I don't know, Diet Coke is that sort of dull, horrible sort of flavor. I think you taste as more that there's no sugar in Diet Coke than you do Coke Zero.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I find it more refreshing, Diet Coke. I could probably have two or three Diet Cokes in a row, whereas Coke Zero, you feel like you've had a drink.
But that's the danger.
Yeah.
If you get something that you can have two or three Coke, because I've actually got to a point now that I was drinking quite so much of it that I can't even finish a can sometimes. I think I got so used to sort of quaffing it down.
Yeah.
Now it's got to the point where I leave like a little bit in the bottom. I actually think that there's actually a thing that I don't think anyone's ever fully finished any can of drink ever.
What?
What are you talking about?
Let me tell you this, right? This is serious.
Yeah, good luck.
Right, okay.
Good luck with this.
You will think you've finished every can of drink.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Next time you got a can of drink, right? Do that, finish it, give it a little shake, you think it's finished, then just knock it over onto your carpet. I guarantee there'll be some residue.
I mean, yeah, there could be some residue. I mean, no one thinks it's bone
dry. But no
dry.
One's completely ever. But no one's ever completely finished a whole can of drink. I think that's where.
But if that's what you, if you mean by those standards, then what?
No one's finished anything ever because there's like.
I could finish this glass of water now.
No, there'll always be like a bit of water.
Finish it now and then hold it upside down over your hand. Yeah, here we go.
Another compelling bit of.
I mean, this is worth it. Yeah, okay, hold it down.
Noticeable stain when you have a, like...
Yeah, it's water, this is water.
you'll see a puddle at least so big. I mean, this again, it's a visual medium.
Yeah, well, for the audience, he held it upside down over his hand and three drops of water went.
Yeah, but what I'm saying with the can, you'll see at least something that's probably 350p's big.
Right.
350, no, I don't do that.
But it's going to get you a can of fizzy drink of Coke Zero. If we got it.
Are we down in the Coke Zero?
You've already said you can't finish a whole one anyway.
Yeah, well, you might have to...
When you say you can't finish a whole one, do you mean that there's always that stuff
no,
left?
Can you literally
not finish it?
No, I have just a little bit left for some reason.
Did you ever think that within 7 months you go from someone who's drinking lager from a pitcher to someone who can't finish a whole soft drink?
If you want, you can just pour all that into that glass that you had the water
right.
in, and then tip it over onto the table, and then knock the can onto the table.
Are you ready?
I am ready. This is exciting.
Here we go.
Fill up the glass now.
I feel like, you know, like when they get scientists on these things.
Yeah.
Right, that's everything out, right?
What is it?
Right, hang on. You didn't feel like
you emptied it all properly, like most people would.
Okay.
Right, 350. Okay, well.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
You saw that.
That's a puddle. That's a decent size puddle, right?
Okay, I still maintain when you were pouring that out, you deliberately didn't fully pour it.
Here we go again.
All right, that's true.
Yeah?
It's like when you hit like 35 and you start going for a piss and you zip everything back
up.
Yeah,
and then you end up with Mickey drips.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I actually, I feel like someone, not a street magician, like a street scientist. Like there, I was just like, Ed's face there was absolutely, he was like, oh yeah, I poured the puddle there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I essentially emptied the can of Diet Coke. But what happened when I poured it up there again?
You did do it. You are like a street scientist.
I'm like the David Blaine of science.
Yeah. A bit like David Blaine of science, actually. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, that first puddle was a bigger puddle of Diet Coke than I was expecting.
And then the other one blew my mind, the next.
Fact that more came out of it still. I'm like that. You were saying about the Diet Coke, well, you know, how much you can finish drinking one day.
It's a nice drop of Coke.
Yeah, you enjoying that?
That's a Diet Coke.
That's the Benito special.
Nice. Yeah, but still, you're missing that zero vibe, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Really hydrating.
Glad to keep you satisfied.
I don't like that they changed the design on the Coke Zero cans, because it used to be a black can.
Yes.
And they changed it to look too much like a normal Coke.
Yeah.
And as a type 1 diabetic man, I obviously need to drink the zero sugar drinks. So occasionally I've been brought a Coke Zero and I have that moment of panic where I'm halfway through drinking it. I'm like, oh, is this definitely a Coke Zero?
And I hate it. I want everyone to know that I'm drinking a Coke Zero. I don't want them to look over and think I'm drinking a Coca-Cola and I'm just a basic bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who even drinks fully fat Coke now?
Basic bitches.
Yeah.
People who are hungover, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah. The big out of the... I always love the look of someone who's on sort of like public transport and they've got like a 2-litre bottle of fucking full fat Coke and they're just quaffing it.
And out a Lucas straight.
Yeah, yeah. At home, though, my wife won't drink. So she has Pepsi Max.
Yeah?
We have a real, like, sort of...
Divided household.
Yeah.
And what did she say to you? Like, what, do you ever have arguments about that?
No. I mean, lucky enough, I'm doing well enough for myself that we can have the option. Congrats. We get to a place where, you know, we can only pick one, I think that's where things will become quite awkward.
But you've never been like, why do you prefer those? I don't understand. It's not as nice as this lovely Coke Zero.
We've had that discussion a couple of times, sort of like, you know, I might just, on special occasions, I might just go, oh, fuck it, I love a Pepsi Max.
Yeah.
And it's, I've got a bit of gas from that. That's what we have with Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke. Yeah, that extra.
Gas, more gas.
Yeah, absolutely. My palate's not ready for it.
Yeah.
Sort of like buzziness of excitement.
Yeah. And bad luck, I put a cigarette out in that.
Yeah, of course. We know how you like it. So we come on to your dessert.
Yeah. I'm going to go with my grandmother's lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Like, it was the best thing.
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, I used to love, busting out that lemon meringue pie sitting in the center of the table. Just can't wait to get through the rest of the meal just to crack onto that thing.
So, would your grandma put the lemon meringue pie in the middle of the table at the beginning of the meal and then we'd all have to sit there looking at it?
Yeah,
like a tease. Yeah. You get through the rest of this shit. Look what you want waiting for you. I like to think of it, just sitting there steaming and sort of like looking good, sort of the meringue all sort of freshly done. But I don't think it was ever on the center of the table. That's how I like to imagine.
You're imagining it on the table while you're eating the rest of it.
But I think it was sort of sat in the kitchen just sort of smiling at me.
Would you ever nip out to the kitchen early and...
just like, sorry, I'm just going to make sure it's still there.
Yeah. Or just take a little taste of it, trouble.
No, more than anything as well, I think you've really got... I think you've got to wait for that dessert. I think everything has to be savoured in courses.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that first moment when you just grab that slice. I've been, since then, I've, like, a sort of... almost like a Willy Fogg kind of vibe of trying to find a meringue as good that sort of means as much to me.
Yeah. I think it is one of those situations with lemon meringue pies are best homemade.
Yes. Off.
Like, I haven't had one in a restaurant that's as nice as numerous ones I've had, like, made by people at their homes. My nan's one was brilliant. Yeah. My mum's one, my sister's, like, way better than anything.
Same family recipe?
I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if my sister maybe got the recipe off my mum, but maybe not. She's her own woman now.
I always get a sort of, a weird sort of excitement whenever I go into a restaurant. They've got lemon meringue pie on the menu there, and it's always an anticlimax.
Yeah,
there's one in East London. I can't remember the name. It's terrible. I can't remember the name of the restaurant now. It's out of my head. But they do this. The meringue is incredible. It's like a shark
Gloria.
Fin. Gloria. Yeah. But it's just too much.
It's crazy and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But it's the meringue is huge.
I went there with my wife and I was like so excited. I literally wolfed the whole... It was like took me back to being a kid. I was wolfing through all right, mate, come on, get that pasta out. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I can't wait to get to this this meringue. And actually, it wasn't fluffy. It's quite a dense meringue, isn't it? And it's just so fucking big. like genuinely, by the time you get to the lemons, it's like you've done about 4 miles of fucking meringue. It's like
the lemon's the best bit as well.
It is, because it's the whole point of a lemon meringue. But otherwise, you might as well just order a meringue.
The lemon should be so sharp that the meringue is just there to cut through the sharpness, so the sweetness.
And also, there's really a dense meringue. The fluffiness to a homemade meringue.
Yeah,
is like that's just something really sacred.
Yeah,
the worst thing I've ever had, and I actually felt like just walking out and just saying to them, this isn't good enough, is when they put like a shot brought meringue. It's quite clearly with the lemon under it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And it's just too crunchy.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, see you later, alligator. Yeah. You're mad at you. Yeah. I'll just literally pour my my drink over it.
Unless
and go.
It's accompanied with the phrase, I'll see you in court. Ugh. I went through a phase in lockdown. I bought a jar of lemon curd out of nowhere. Didn't expect to. And would just occasionally just go to the fridge and just stick my finger in it. Every time it's tasted like a lemon meringue pie to me. I thought this is like lemon meringue pie mix in a jar. That's what I've got.
I mean, it's not. It's very surprising to me that we've not heard this before. That during the lockdown, you bought a jar of lemon curd and would regularly just go to the fridge, dip your finger in it, and then lick your finger.
Think
about how it was like a lemon meringue.
I love
pie.
The idea of you just leaning on the fridge, just going, "Oh, that's nice.
This
that's
is fucking, alive."
Yeah, because of course,
it's alive.
Lemon meringue pies and the ingredients to make a lemon meringue pie were all banned during the first COVID lockdown, weren't they? So you just had to get that hit when you could.
Wouldn't it be nice if like having a cigarette or like sort of drinking, like it was more socially acceptable to take like a jar of sort of like curd out with you and sort of just run your finger around it and just go, you all right?
I'd be all right with that if everyone went outside to do it.
In a smoking area. You want a cigarette? No, I'm just curding, mate. Just having a bit of curd.
Passion fruit curd
is my favourite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, passion fruit curd is incredible. But nothing makes it like, accompanies meringue and goes hand in hand as sweetly as lemon.
Yeah.
Or sourly as lemon.
Yeah, do you have anything with your grandmother's lemon meringue pie?
No,
ice cream, nothing.
No. Just there's nothing that can match up to it. Fair. It's like the Muhammad Ali of sort of desserts. Someone else is in the ring, but it sort of doesn't really matter who that is.
So felt like a meringue skin, like a lemon? Did you say that?
That's an amazing.
That works as well. Yeah, it's good.
Well, actually worked.
Yeah.
That actually really worked.
I didn't think it would. I thought in my head, this will be stupid. Say the stupid thing.
Oh, float like a meringue, sting like a lemon. Yeah. It's perfect.
It's quite good. I'm going to read you your order back, see how you feel about it. You want some Kettering tap water.
Yep.
You want tiger bread with salty butter.
Yeah.
Starter, French onion soup with a crouton on the top, crouton on the bottom from the place in Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Main course, Irish boxy, lamb. Side, 4 bags of scalloped potatoes.
Yeah.
Drink, Coke Zero. Dessert, your grandmother's lemon meringue pie.
Sweet as it comes.
Feel good about that?
I feel amazing about that.
That's lovely.
It does sound nice.
That'll fill you up as well, that.
There's a lot of bread in there.
Stick to your ribs.
And you know what? Thank God I've gone with Coke Zero. Because it's quite a calorific meal.
And 2 courses in a row where it's just sort of like quite thick brown stuff.
French onion soup.
French onion soup followed by Irish boxy.
Yeah. There's a lot of, and quite a lot of onions in boxy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. I like the fact that's a belly tapper afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Is that a sign of a good meal for you? Tapping the belly?
If you ever see me eating out and you're just watching what I'm doing, and if I don't tap my belly at the end of that meal, fucking hell, he's going to be complaining about that. He'll be on TripAdvisor on the way.
So what's the scenario that you put us in there? So we're in a restaurant and you happen to be in the restaurant as well. We're just watching you.
You're eating as well.
We're eating with you.
But I come walking in and I go, James, Ed, how are you both doing? You're like,
handshakes,
of course. You know Kevin, Kevin's serving. Yeah, Kev, how you doing, mate? Handshake to Kev.
Yeah.
Kev's give both a can of...
Kevin's
can of
the rhino, right?
Kevin's the rhino. Yeah.
Comes in. Nodded.
We're shocked, obviously, because there's a fucking rhino in the room.
Just with a tray on his back with the food.
Oh, he works there? Yeah. Kevin works there. Okay.
I'd order you a cut of Dark Coke, Dark Pepsi H, get him... Can each, would you?
Yeah.
I go and sit on my table.
So you're coming in ordering us a drink and sitting on another.
Yeah.
No, you know, instead of a bottle of wine, I'll go, give him a Coke.
Yeah.
Dark Pepsi, James?
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Dark Coke? Lovely. Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your meal. Kevin, look after them.
Yeah.
I then bowl over. I bowl over to my table.
Yeah.
Because I'm eating alone and I don't want to infringe on your meal. Uh-huh. And then you'd probably both just sort of like, what's he up to? And I'd sort of, at the end of the meal, if I do this, tap my stomach.
Yeah.
That's nice. And you see me walk around, give a handshake, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you see me just look at the plate, sigh a little bit, get up, put my coat on and sort of walk out, I've not.
Yeah.
I think in that scenario, I would rather see you just like look at your plate and get up and put your coat on and walk out because you've come in so bold as brass. You know, shaking Edward's hands, ordering them drinks, introducing them to the maitre d' who's a rhino, sitting down on your own and not even joining anyone because you want to have your dinner on your own, and then hating your meal and then leaving it in silence. It's just pretty a lot more satisfying.
Just the idea that we'd be sat in this restaurant watching you. Just watching you so intently and not ignoring the rhino waiter.
Yeah, yeah. That would be the headline for us. Not whether you tap your stomach or not at the end.
The rhino's in the kitchen. Can I get a bit off a bit early?
Yeah. I'd just be quite amused that that's how you were handling the whole situation. Going, you met Kev? Yeah. No, it's not very good. Cut goes on, walks out.
Tom, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant. We've loved having you here.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there we are. What a great menu, what a great chat, what a great guy.
Thank you so much, Tom, for coming on. I'm very much looking forward to watching The Curse.
Yes.
Sundays, 10 p.m. on Channel 4. All episodes available to stream on all four.
Well done. Everyone has to do that. I don't think there's a person in this country who gets to saying what the streaming service for Channel 4 is called and doesn't go, 4OD? No. All four.
All four.
All four.
I mean, I know you said more four.
Yeah, that's a channel. It's a whole different channel.
Yeah.
It's not
very
on that.
Confusing.
But we're very much looking forward to The Curse. And do also check out the Wolf and Owl podcast with Tom and Rom. The Tom Esch podcast.
I just discovered.
Yes, it's very, very good.
I've learned it exists.
It's very fun.
Tom Esch, he's too busy. How is he doing that? How is he squeezing another podcast in? Absolutely crazy.
It's pretty incredible.
And I'm very glad that Tom didn't say Jack Daniels.
Yes. Well, he didn't even come close to saying Jack Daniels.
He said, forget it. No alcohol, no booze for this guy.
Goodbye.
Relief. Blessed relief there.
Blessed relief.
Especially because I felt quite risky, you know, making the secret ingredient the drink course, because that means I could have got chucked out before dessert. And
risky whiskey. Risky whiskey, baby.
Risky whiskey, I'm feeling frisky.
Whiskey business.
Yep.
Let's not forget that I'm on tour as well, doing my show Electric, edgamble.co.uk for tickets. I'm all over the UK. It's a good show. I can say that now. I've started the tour. It's a good show.
The reviews are in.
No, they're not, actually.
Oh.
No, so we're going to keep that quiet. But it is a good show, regardless of any reviews that are not in. Hey, and thanks to Momo Kombucha, who sent us some booch.
Mo Kombucha, mo problems.
And we actually had a couple, just a couple of lads.
We did.
Standing out there, swigging a booch.
Turmeric's my favourite flavour of the Momo.
The ginger Momo.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks very much for listening to the Off Menu podcast. We will see you again next week. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
Hello, I'm Lou Sanders, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, you might like my podcast, Cuddle Club. It's about cuddling, yes, but really it's just a way into relationships and asking cheeky questions like who was your mum's favourite and when were you last unfaithful? Previous guests include Alan Davies, Ashley B, Catherine Ryan, Rich Dosman, Ed Gamble, Nish Kumar and other legends. Get it on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your all podcasts. And remember to CC everybody in if CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, wait, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.